Charles actually is, I think, called you all to remind you about the meeting. He's not feeling well, so Charles won't be here. So actually, we can actually officially convene the meeting. So how about if we go around the table and do introductions?
I'm Kevin Hutchcock with HHS.
I'm Chuck Adams, councilman.
Melina Clark, council staff.
David Jordan, council staff.
Ron Hernandez, council member, Lucito, council member.
And here's Councilman. And Mike Shriver, council co-chair, and co-chair of this group for a year. So how about, can we look at the agenda for today and see if everyone's approval? I would like to offer a modification. Number six is going to be a discussion. I don't have actual draft very well. I wanted to actually talk to you about what we want the letter to say as opposed to having something for you. I'm sorry to feel long and write it. So, did you have a look okay with everybody?
Can we add something?
Yes, what would you like to add, Ken?
So, I would like to add the name of this group. I can quickly just say, in my research around the memorial, I found out that Will Carter was the first person who stimulated and got the first PLWH. And I thought, rather than just having a like we did Reggie and other things, it might be fun to name this after somebody.
So I'll discuss that. Can we put that as after between 7 and 8?
Sure.
Anywhere you got the naming. And I'd also like to add the idea of the PLWH group endorsing the idea of having Ken sit on the CPG for the 5-year term as opposed to the 3-year term.
Is he going to live long enough for that?
Well, we're going to stop and roll over the rooms.
We can name the group.
Before you finish your term. I think that's perfect. So we'll put that.
And also, I'd love to give an update on this.
So why don't we do that before we do the naming? So we'll do that. That'll be number 8. Naming will be 9, and then the next meeting will be 10. So we've done like that. We don't need to more agenda. Actually, have full agenda. 8 is CPG, 9 is name. And does that work with everyone then?
Hmm?
Great. So how about if we look over the minutes from the last meeting, the last full meeting with quorum, and vote to approve. Just to remind everyone, the motion that was made that we reiterated to the full council that was endorsed was that this group will meet 4 times a year. They'll be 90 minutes long, they'll be topic oriented. Thank you, Dave and Lee, for helping with the agenda. That we'll try to develop, we will actually take some responsibility for developing the agenda. And staff are here for support. And we're going to try to stage the meetings, either anticipate big meetings like the summit. Or actually use these meetings to actually develop agenda items for the full council meetings. That was sort of the gist of what we have. Quorum is 4 individuals. To make quorum.
I don't see on here when Ken Pierce lost it and Mike Shriver had to chastise him for jumping down the throat of one of the community members.
That's not correct.
No, I think that's the addendum. That's in his statement to mention. So if there are no comments or suggestions or edits, then approved by consensus. Great. Does anyone have any announcements?
It's Billy.
No announcements? Any public comment? Ms. Billy, would you like to introduce yourself? Just
hi, I'm Ms. I really need an introduction. good afternoon, everybody. I'm Ms. Billy Cooper.
Don't you have fabulous today,
yes, sir? And planning council member all at the same time. So we now want to move to agenda item number 6. At the co-chairs meeting, we've agreed that we are going to be sending a letter to the State Office of AIDS to talk about the ADAP issue, which ostensibly began with a phone call from the State Office of AIDS in November, where it was noted that one of the contractors for the ADAP program in the East Bay was AIDS Healthcare Foundation. And some of us found that rather bewildering given the AIDS Healthcare Foundation's policy position on PrEP. And they were part of the PrEP ADAP program. And we had asked the State Office of AIDS for some clarification in their decision-making process around contracting with agencies that seem to have a different position from them in terms of the policy, and we didn't get anywhere. And then at the January meeting, and the State Office of AIDS said, we'll get back to you, please send us more information. And I know the dean immediately sent them, I think the correct term is a shit ton of links and documents about the AIDS Healthcare Foundation, Michael Weinstein, and their position on PrEP and how we found it bewildering. And we didn't hear anything back from them. And then in January, one of the council members sort of set me up to go sit by the telephone and talk again to the State Office of AIDS about our confusion regarding the policy with the State Office of AIDS around their contracts. Not the contractor, because it was a representative from the AIDS Healthcare Foundation in the room who actually took some umbrage with our tone and point because of the policy of the AIDS Healthcare Foundation, I guess, to decentralize their pharmaceutical decisions down at their pharmacies. Their pharmacies are the ones that get the contract, they're the ones that have the patients come in, they determine, and they prescribe, and they go on ADAP. And so, and in February, we again felt the same issue came up again, no interest in the Office of AIDS. And so we've agreed at the co-chair level, following that meeting, that we want to send a letter to the State Office of AIDS regarding this. And I also know that there were other issues around ADAP that also began percolating at the council. And both because I'm not feeling well, and also because I'd rather write a letter that actually is reflective of a broader consensus than just my thinking, I would much rather have a discussion with you all as what are our bottom lines in the letter, or what do you want to see in the letter as we start writing this letter and circulating it to the committee so that we actually have a really robust letter to the State Office of AIDS. So I wanted to actually open that up for discussion. For council, I really need your help because left to my own devices, I'm really torn because obviously the State Office of AIDS has gone through a contracting process to determine their grant recipients. They have determined that grant recipient in the East Bay is doing good work and is actually a good provider of the service, and I don't think anyone has any doubt of that. So what do we want to say? So I'm open. I'd like to see if we can come up with some consensus. Ken?
So first of all, I would recommend folks go to the AHF website and scroll down and see they have a policy statement. So, because I think we would be remiss for stating something unless we, and it looks like somebody tinkered with it for just that purpose, but it's clear that they're not fully in support of PrEP, but they've done more of like the nuances that they have problems with than before. So I would make sure I look at that and kind of do it. The other thing I would tell you is the State Office of AIDS is just in the midst of all kinds of change going on. I think I told y'all before at our October meeting, they said they were going to integrate STD. It would happen by the first of the year. They would not call it the Office of AIDS anymore after January. They had a new interim director, Dr. Ramos. Then in December, they got word that she couldn't continue because she was on loan, so they brought somebody else in. They made no integration stuff. They didn't do any of the stuff we did. The person who heads up the CPG named a new person, and Liz to be the co-chairs. Then both that new person now is going on maternity, so they're naming somebody else. And Liz is, if y'all haven't heard, Liz Hall got a promotion, and she's in charge of housing for the State Office of AIDS now. And so she's no longer going to be with CPG, and I believe she probably is going to step back at some point. She said she's right now she's continuing. But I think a lot of ours has to be a focus on getting the right people, either a CC to the right people, or to somehow we've got to have the right people see this. The CPG has just put out a conference call for all of its members because somebody jiggled something because they brought Dr. Ramos back in. And she, I think, has said, why have we not doing it? I don't know what the reason, but so now suddenly we have to have an immediate conference call on totally reformulating the CDBG, integrating it and making it more community-centered and more HIV representative, as and with the suggestion more like the EMAs. So all this is going on. So I think I kind of is your timing, I guess I would say. Is, you know, do we want to give them a chance to see what they're doing and who's on first? And I can certainly give, after the 28th conference call, give you all information on that. So that's kind of where the state is now and who's on first. And I think it was Kevin that told me the ADAP person specific is Sandra.
And she, the ADAP branch chief is Sandra Robinson. And she's not someone who presents herself to the public much, because I just don't think that's her skill, but she is quite the technocrat. She understands health policy.
Right.
And I think she might be a good person to direct.
Right. For many things. Because I think that everybody we've talked to, as I've heard it anyway, hasn't grasped what we're trying to say.
Especially around Medicare.
Right.
Issues.
Yeah, I mean, this one thing is the whole contract piece,
right.
But it's another thing when we come up with the nuances of Medicare. Why is it you only have 1,000 enrollees for Medicare supplemental? That suggests that part of the problem is you're not doing outreach. You know, and if you did that outreach, those people that would get that supplement, it would, in many cases, could reduce Medi-Cal, because people would be having Medicare, Medigap, rather than Medicare, Medi-Cal. And so the whole system could benefit from all that. But other kind of nuances, too, about are we looking at new, are we looking at the formulary? How closely are we doing it? They don't keep statistics. You know, everything is 45 and older. That's the statistics they keep. And I don't think, if you're doing and you're looking at the epidemic, that is, we already know 50% is over 50, and as you get the older, we're going to see the concomitant kind of health issues. So it begs the question of, shouldn't we be looking at supporting medications in some of those veins as well? So all these nuances, I don't think we're going to get to them until we get a person. So that's why I was pushing and talked to you about maybe one of the things would be for us as our group to do something like sponsor Sandra to come here for not only the council, our group, but also any of the contractors, navigators, whatever, just as kind of an update on where things are going and how the nuances and that kind of stuff and what kind of statistics, because they wrap everything together. Their statistics that we got, I think, said something like 1,300 clients. But when you ask them about that, some of those clients are getting Medigap premiums. Some of those clients are getting copays and not getting them. They don't have enough information for you to draw conclusions. So part of it, I guess part of what I'm promoting is for us to glean more information, and the other part is to twofold hit it, you know, kind of thing. Can you do this, and can you talk to us?
I don't know.
Okay, Bill. Hi. You know, I am so out of the loop all I know about Medicare or Medi-Cal, whatever, is that they take $150 out of my check every month. You know, and I've been having issues with that for years. So can I be brought up to speed? What exactly is happening? Because when I heard you just mention 1,000 people signed up, and I thought the numbers would be way beyond that. And then you said 1,500, and I thought they would be way beyond that. And I just...
So, Ms. Billy, if you wouldn't mind and have the time, when we're over, I'll do a 101.
Thank you.
Because
Thank you.
I think the question you're asking is something quite different, because I think you're asking about the Medicare
There's Part D stuff in all that.
Well, there's Part D and there's your Part B premium, you know, so, and there's many things. Nobody picks up the Part D premium except Medi-Cal.
Mm-hmm.
Medi-Cal, if you're on Medi-Cal.
Medi-Cal.
So if you are on Medi-Cal, it should be picking up the Part B premium.
Somebody's so, taking $150 out of my position.
I think, well, we can talk about that right. later, but I think that's the issue. It's got so convoluted that, you know, we're looking to navigators, and I even question whether the navigators, and I have to say, my navigator, who shall not go named, but is at the general, I hadn't the slightest idea how it works. And when I brought in my paperwork, you don't need this paperwork. And I knew for a fact I did need this paperwork, you know, and how to figure out there's this special kind of formulas they have. And they just need to hear the feedback. They need to hear the feedback that if they sign you up for a Medigap premium, they have to be aware that those premiums change once or twice a year. They change how much it is. So what's happening is I've got a letter saying, yours wasn't paid, it was short $3.50. It won't go into effect until you pay us that $3.50. Well, that kind of defeats the whole purpose of it, you know. So those are the kinds of things that I think the only way it's going to be heard is if we can reach somebody.
That's all that Humana stuff, SilverScript, that's all that I've been getting
in the
mail.
That's the Part D,
yes. Yeah.
D is in drugs.
So,
yeah.
So getting back to the point, so what are you saying as far as a letter? Are you saying to hold off for another few months before we...
I'm not saying another few months because I think we've already waited 3 months.
Okay.
I think we approach it as two different components, but part of the same ask to the State Office of AIDS. And, you know, we just say that we... And I guess what I'm also saying is the political ramifications, and that's where I think, Mike, you can find better people like Bill or other folks that can talk to you about what we're doing if we push this too hard and the nuances of what the AIDS Healthcare Foundation, how they've done it so that they...
So I guess, I mean, my question is for the council members. Like, it's not our intention to ask the state officer to defund a contractor. That wasn't the point of my questioning of them on the phone. I really wanted a policy clarification for them about what is their policy about contracting with an agency whose expressed policy, which may have been tweaked now to really give them the way around it, which may be the case. But it strikes me now that this the ADAP issue is much bigger than just the PrEP ADAP. That we as a council really have serious questions and need a serious educational from them about the scope of ADAP, whether it's Medicare, Medigap, clients, enrollments. If what I'm hearing you saying is that the letter really would be much more an invitation for the State Office of AIDS to come meet with us, specifically around ADAP, and giving us a time to develop an agenda of questions we want answered, data that we want delivered, and policies that we want discussed.
And I would almost do it as our invitation that we would like to sponsor them to not only our care council, but to our HPLWH, and also to our contractors and navigators, because there's trickles down. So they tell somebody, and there's four or five different people, and those four or five different people then are responsible for telling the next level down that goes to the enrollment counselors. And which kind of enrollment counselors are we talking? Navigation for PrEP? Are we talking navigation? So things get lost in that kind of convoluted, and I think if we pose it as giving them an opportunity to hear firsthand, Bill, does this sound?
Yeah, no, it sounds great. I'm sorry, I came in late. I actually came because Charles said, please come, and Charles not here.
Yeah,
so I said I'd pop in, so I had no greater agenda than to hear and see what you guys were doing. But you're asking me to opinionate, and I missed the first part of this conversation. But I think what I could say is I think it's smart to separate the issue of what is your policy around contracting with folks that have a set of practices that seem antithetical to the larger idea of what it is. I would separate this out from this part of ADAP, which is really insurance, premium payments, et cetera, that you're looking at. And so, you know, Kevin is the guy that does the ADAP, and he, you know, my guess is he understands most of this, but probably he doesn't even understand all of it. He's way ahead of me. So I do think it's a great idea to do a presentation. You also could just offer, you know, this is confusing and complex, and could we be your guinea pig so you can take it to us, and then maybe you want to do another planning council.
But I also think the whole issue is what Mike's saying, too, is that there doesn't appear to be, I mean, can any of us believe they didn't know this in the first place? I mean, that's what I think all of us, and every time, if they didn't know in the first place that they were contracting with an agency.
We know that the State Office of AIDS has a long-standing history with the AIDS Healthcare Foundation, and we know that it is not necessarily a friendly relationship with the AIDS Healthcare Foundation since the beginning of the Ryan White Care Act. In fact, the AIDS Healthcare Foundation opposed the recentralization of ADAP because it goes on and on and on. So they know who they are, and whether in spite of that or because of that or independent of that, they agreed to the contracts and to the providers.
You want to guess, as another bureaucracy, it's the third, that there's a series of firewalls and contracting that would make it, they have independent people that review the RFPs that come in, that's a request for proposal. And so probably the State Office of AIDS don't even staff that. They might, so they have outside people come in, and what you base it on is the track record of the agency to deliver the contract to provide services, not their outside politics. So it would be interesting. I'm just thinking if DPH was ever asked to look at that. You know, I'm not sure we could produce a policy. Like, I mean, I think we.
So it may well be that what we need to do is ask for the quality assurance of, have you held, what does the contract say you're asking for, and are they holding to that in those nuances where they don't agree?
Well, I think one thing is you probably don't have the authority to actually look at the contract's public records. So you have a right to look at that. In terms of deliverables, you probably don't have a right to look at the, as an individual citizen, you probably might, but as a council, you don't have a right to go to that, because that's contract management. I think the question that seems like you guys are asking, and again, I'm coming in the middle of this, you guys, so I may be completely off, is, how in the hell can you contract with someone who's doing something so antithetical to what we understand is common practice? And so that may not be about the contract at all. It may really be a policy clarification, which might look at, we understand you may have separate contracting policies, but it does seem antithetical that you are financially supporting an organization to grow that's antithetical to much of what this is supposed to do. And do you have a policy person there that links into your RFP process that can speak to this or help develop good policy so that agencies that we understand are harmful to patient outcomes don't do it. That would be the way I would go. But my guess is it's probably bureaucracy as opposed to nefarious that are clubbing together.
Well, even if bureaucracy, what you missed is we brought this up at the last three council meetings.
Yeah, my guess
and
is
each time we have.
It probably comes up to three levels over, and then two, they probably have another contracting department just completely different staff and know nothing about HIV. And, you know what I mean? It's just bureaucracy. So what you want to do is hold them accountable. So my suggestion may be really it's how do you guys, and it may have to go to the head of the AIDS office. Can anyone apply for these services that could do them, or do you expect to have some sort of politics that's pro-HIV?
Sure.
I think you guys are kind of hitting the right way. My guess is it's really happened because of firewalls to make sure there actually isn't kind of sweetheart deals. That would be my guess.
So I'll just throw out, based on that, I think maybe we want two letters. One to Dr. Ramos, that's the whole issue
on the policy.
On the policy, and one that's to
Sandra Robertson.
Sandra Robertson, maybe with CC to Dr. Ramos, saying.
So, can I want to steal your thunder, because you're much more in this than I am. So, if you have a different take, please, we'll model similar.
Well, I mean, I take what you say, I take it well. The only thing I would add, though, given their RFP process with the Ramsell fiasco, let's call it what it was, I'm not sure that they do have clearly articulated set of requirements for these providers. Is there a commitment to pre-exposure prophylaxis, for example? Well, in this one case, I doubt that you could say that. I don't know. I would caution against being overly critical in the, I mean, maybe you could couch it all in the context.
context of this is, and I've heard you eloquently speak of the final stretch of getting to zero and how difficult this might be. This is a set of considerations to take into account going forward, getting to zero, perhaps. One other thing I would say is, so I was put on Matt Kaiser, and they suggested, I didn't know the program existed, but this cycle refill program where they synchronize your prescriptions. And it makes it a hell of a lot easier to pick it up.
Just one pickup.
Yeah, just one pickup. Now, wouldn't that be wonderful if we could put that into ADAP somehow?
But see, that's those are the things like that, or the fact that, you know, they call it ADAP, but guys, really what this is leftover kind of monies or monies they've gotten back from the drug companies that you know, smoke and mirrors, and people aren't watching as much, so they're using it for good things. So it's a good thing.
Yes.
But one other question we might ask is, you know, why do we do this for everybody but not for Medicare Kaiser patients? You know, so why can I get a Medigap premium, but somebody else who's Kaiser Senior Advantage can't get any support for their premium? And as you
so
know,
now you bring in another level
right.
of detail. So just to keep all of these things
right,
straight.
Right, right. But I think, it's been brought up, because I've brought it up.
Oh, I'm sure you have.
CPG.
But don't mix that into
right. I'm going to see if I can. But I thought that was what you were. He was talking about, is there are these nuances that I think they need to hear. And, you know, that whether it be that or whatever. But in terms of the letter that we're talking about, the co-chairs and Mike writing to the director, I do think it's okay for us to say we've asked about this three times, you know, sure, and we feel like maybe.
And that's what we're going official with what
she said. And she may be punting it upstairs and just not getting a response.
So let's see if I can take temperature that. So the temperature of the group. So it sounds like it's not one letter. There is a letter to be written that I'm tasked with now, and it is around that nuance around antithetical to the goal of the whole state now with its whole getting, you know, the ETE stuff, the ending the epidemic. That can be done, and so that, if that's okay with the group, I'll go forward with that. And those will be the basic talking points around whether it's consistent with our principles around getting to zero, or around the whole package, all that nuance. And that'll be the letter around H Healthcare Foundation. Anybody, but specifically around H Healthcare Foundation. The second piece then is that we really want to invite the State Office of AIDS to come here, talk to us about AIDS, have a dialogue with us around ADAP, and we have enough specific items in that thing that we can actually develop an agenda for them, whether it's to guinea pig us with their rollout of how to talk about ADAP or all those things. But we could actually go offline and develop an agenda that we could then circulate through the system that the council could sign off on. But it's the will of this group that what we want is the State Office of AIDS to come here and meet with us, not just us, but more vested parties, to talk through this whole conglomeration of ADAP, whether it's...
It sounds like really it's the insurance premium payment programs you want to hear about.
Because
otherwise they're going to start talking about the formulary, and do you want all that? Or you want that?
Well, it is a lot, but I think that's what I'm saying, because it is so complex. Like the other issue is, contracting. You know, they contract with Magellan, right? Did they know that? Did they say to Magellan, only give 1 month bills? No. So Magellan changed his policy and now give a 3 month bill, but nobody passed that on to everybody. So some people can get 3 months of bill. And that's a huge, and for them to hear, if I do a 3 month bill on January 1st with my ADAP, it pushes me through the donut hole. So the cost of all my other. So the, those.
Here's my question too, if that's the case. Do you want the whole planning council to hear about it, or do you want the State Office of AIDS to do a COLA for consumers? Because they have some sort of process where they get input from. And do you want them to do something? Do you want to have them, and actually not make it San Francisco, make it statewide, and have some sort of an open process where people raise their concerns and they address them?
I think that would be a great idea, but like, I think what I'm saying, and I don't mean to. I'll just say it. I don't think the consumers have. I mean, it is so complex. It is so nuanced. I don't think most of the consumers know what they aren't getting. It's not a matter of. It's what.
That's true, because some consumers are so I'm naive, and some consumers don't want to shake the bottle or rattle the cage, so they'll just go along with every letter they get in the mail delivered to their home from these different agencies and things, and some of them will wind up losing all their benefits. Because I know I get letters, I don't understand.
Ron,
do you think that they need to be educated or informed of this? Is it something?
You know, it's presumptuous for me to say that. The state is a huge organization, and I mean, if you talk about bureaucracy, I mean, it's a constant moving target. And as I said, everything about it, they're reformulating the CPG. We just got a thing about it that it's. We started it in October, and nothing's happened because Dr. Ramos was on, and then she was off, and then she was on, and now, and they've changed. Liz is on. Liz, you know, so the whole thing. So now suddenly it's going to be done in a week in a conference call to get the CPG. So I just think it's an issue that there needs to be a better mechanism to tap into people who are stupid enough or tenacious enough to know every little nuance so that they understand what will happen. And I don't know how to do that.
Ron,
to
finish up.
My main question. So there are two components. The first component is to write a letter of criticism to the
concern
to Oakland. But
to the State Office of AIDS about their contracting process.
That is that going to be after we invite these people to come in?
I think it was two separate.
Two
separate issues.
Different people, yeah.
All right.
But I guess that the reason I was bringing it up is that's a contract issue, too. Contract. It's just about their contract.
Yeah, but I think what you do is rather than focus on the specifics of it, you do a general what kind of policy can you develop to ensure that the people that get contracted with don't have political policies that's antithetical to HIV treatment.
So I've got Miss Billy on the list and then Dave on the list, and I want to see if we can actually get an action item to come out of this discussion about the second part of the State Office of AIDS piece, since we figured out the first part.
Okay, so my first question is, now these two, drafting of two letters, one would go to AHF.
No.
The State Office of AIDS.
Yes.
And who's the other one going to?
State Office of AIDS.
They're both going to the State Office of AIDS?
Yes.
Okay.
They're different parts.
Okay.
One's going to the director and one's going to the ADAP.
So now this AHF, is this, I think most of their headquarters is in Oakland, right?
LA,
okay, so I got that all, I'm up to date with that. But let me, what's your name again?
Kevin,
I just asked Kevin. Now, this letter coming from this sector, San Francisco, is LA or is Sacramento, is Seattle, Seattle's not in California, but the other principalities, and is this Northern and Southern California? So are we, is everybody, every other HIV Planning Council or group of people going to write something to coincide with what y'all are thinking about writing here? Because we can't set the policy for everybody, because everybody ain't going to be thinking the way that what we can think here. So
I think what we're hearing anyway is that we're pushing an envelope up and it hasn't bubbled up in this particular period.
But are these other places going to get the letters showing them?
I think we would stir it up if we sent them a copy of this at the same time.
Because aren't they privy? Aren't they supposed to be privy to everything too?
The other emails. Yeah. So Dave, let's leave that question floating for a Dave.
Yeah, I think I also was interested in sort of seeing if we can put together. It felt like we were going a little far afield. And every time we sort of go around, we're adding more nuance to the conversation. I think it's good maybe if we could just settle the initial letter about HF and PrEP, and then maybe sort of figure that out first. And I want to add my voice to what Kevin was saying about it being not a scold, but a suggestion for the future, because I think trying to hold their feet to the fire about something that, as Bill said, they may not even have been aware of, or all of the sort of threads may have not connected to a point where they had a clear context for what was happening, though that is incredibly frustrating. I think it might be more effective to just definitely suggest that this was a no foul, but let's address it in the future sort of situation.
And that being the best of my subject, from facilitating, it seemed that we had consensus around the table from the planning council members around the tone and tenor of the letter regarding that contract. And it could actually be broader, too, because it is a broader policy question, like how the contracting policies, particularly around organizations antithetical to the goal of public health.
But, yeah, and I also think that, like, maybe, because I think we had this idea that we were going to bring somebody here to sort of, like, yeah.
That's not, seems like we've divorced that. So do we need that in the form of a motion around sort of the principles, or is this just, do I just take this as guidance from the group? Is that what we want this group to let it be?
Can I ask another little question? Who's losing the contract and who's getting the contract?
No one's losing the contract. No one's gaining or losing.
They're just reconfiguring.
We're asking the state officer for.
He's saying, yeah.
No.
We're not suggesting that the current contractor that's doing the prep ADAP work in Oakland, they've been awarded the contract. We know they do good work in Oakland. We're not questioning their capacity or their ability. That's not what we're questioning. We're questioning the state office of AIDS policy around contracting with agencies for whom their public policy may stand completely antithetical to the goal of the intervention.
Because I heard somebody say deliverables and all that stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a policy question.
From a process perspective, yes, I would say a motion that would go forward to steering and then the full council around the letter. And whatever you develop between here and steering can sort of be wordsmithed to go to full council.
But around those principles, around it's around consideration, it's around policy, it's around, it's not scolding, it's not demanding, but it's really clear that there will be a paragraph saying, you know, we've asked, and now we've come to the level of actually writing a letter for clarification, and that's what this letter is about.
But can't they get lost in the transition, or the response they send you back, and then more letters have to be written, because they try to keep... They want people in the loop or push them out the loop?
Always the risk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is going to be the start of a process because it's probably going to be something new where you add as a contract requirement the agency's political kind of affiliation. So that's going to be, you know, Apple is not a small organization that has a huge policy stuff, so they're going to push back. So this is going to go over to the legal section of the state. So just know this is a longer process. So keep growing, but you're not gonna, it's not gonna come, this is something that will affect maybe when they RFP it again. Like, it's probably a longer term goal. I think what my suggestion is you're going like, hey guys, you need to do something so the people that you award contracts with aren't actually developing public policy which hurts or ending the epidemic. That's what you're trying to do now, then let them figure that out.
That's perfect.
That would be the thrust of the letter. You know, we're not asking them to do anything to the agency itself, but. And it really does set the stage for, and I'm not expecting them to do anything, but the council really wants to go on record saying, we want to know, and we're not happy with having to ask and ask and ask and ask.
So who's tasked to write this up?
I'm writing it from the co-chairs. But could we get that in the form of a motion around sort of endorsing that, the sort of consensus position?
I think we should put a little ebonics in it, too.
A little footnotes.
Yes.
Chuck, did you read it?
Yeah, well, whatever you said, that's what we'll do.
Yeah.
So the motion on the table would be that the PLWH endorses the idea, consensus around the idea of what the letter's intent should be, which is around policy and consistency with the state's goals and our jurisdictional goals around getting to zero.
There we go. That's what I said.
So we'll all get a copy of this letter, too?
It'll work its way all the way up. It'll come to the Planning Council for its approval at the meeting.
Sooner the better.
So is this policy around?
Yes.
Yeah, I got you.
So
second.
So it's been moved.
I moved.
Chuck moved it.
I'll second that.
It's been seconded. Any more discussion on the motion?
I just want to say what you just said about the letter, honey, you just blew me away. You spoke so eloquently and to the point, honey, you lost me.
We tape recorded this, didn't
okay.
we?
Okay. Yes, okay.
Okay, so so all in favor of the motion? Anyone opposed? Great. And to the second point, if I could make a suggestion, since we've got the ADAP expert, Since we've actually got expertise here, and we've actually got expertise here, and we know that there's a lot to unpack with the ADEF stuff, it strikes me that the first thing would be for us to be brought up to date, up to speed, so that we all are working out of the same baseline. Because I don't think that everyone in this table has the same baseline understanding of what the problems and the gaps are that we're experiencing right now with ADEF.
I don't.
So I think that my suggestion is that before we invite the state up to debate here, that we do some homework ourselves and sort of develop for us, like what are the points we really want to talk about with them, so that when we invite them, that we can have a robust discussion with them that's actually going to move them forward. So I would like to ask if you wouldn't actually sort of take some time offline to actually develop sort of like a boilerplate list for us as the committee about what are the outstanding issues that we really think need to be teased out. Because I would hate to just go in a meeting with CDF, so getting them here and just having this sort of buckshot run.
Go ahead. Ken said that he wanted to sponsor them, which means we would pay for their travel and lodging.
Well, I was jumping on us sponsoring as us thing. But, you know, at this point, I'm feeling like that I'm pushing something that nobody else is really that much understanding. So I'm going to back off on this. I definitely hear Dave say that. So.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I was saying we should
separate
them. And
now we've got the second issue, which is,
yes.
And I think there's enough interest around the table that this clearly is an issue that we don't have.
But I'm telling you that Kevin and I probably together have a great deal of knowledge. But we don't have the knowledge either, because there's nobody to ask who has the, you know, we could go to Sacramento and ask for a meeting. Maybe that would be something to get in the first place. But there's so many pieces of this.
A couple of thoughts. One is, because ADAP is such a big thing, again, you really go specific about what you want. It seems to me, as I'm hearing it, this understanding payment premiums, particularly around Medicare, but it may be bigger than that. So, because you want them to come prepared to talk about what you want. It also seems like, Ken, you are way ahead of most everyone, including me. So you're probably ahead of about half the people in FOG, but not all of them. So my other suggestion is, why don't you get a group of people together that know the right questions to ask, so that if you ask for the presentation, whether it's a planning council or we do it through HIV Health Services or through FOG or something else, it seems to me, if I'm understanding you right, one, you want a warm line that can call and actually get a clear answer, and two, you want a series of frontline workers that can call the warm line, or rather than being at this level, if not at that level, or at least at here, so that they can get to that level quickly for a patient such as yourself. Right? That's what you're planning.
I want to make sure that whatever they're putting into place trickles down, and I mean, I get it. I can get anything I want because I'm tenacious. But I'm telling you, a Billy or somebody else who just, they don't want their mind to be clogged up with all this.
Just going
to
make a suggestion. Think about how specific you want it. And two, are you working with FOG as well? Are you working with FOG as well?
Yes.
That you guys also get that. So it's not just you alone. You could actually be talking to somebody.
So maybe a work group of sorts with FOG and around the ADAP.
Particularly the insurance premium.
Sorry, I had a question.
Yeah, Dave.
Bill, earlier you had suggested that having some sort of like outreach forum from State of Office of AIDS or around ADAP. What do you think the likelihood of a thing like that actually taking place, and how could we sort of foster that idea? Because I think it's information that we need information going both ways. Because I think based on a lot of what we heard today is they don't actually know where the gaps are. So for them, like, we need to be able to go and tell them, like, these are the things that we don't understand on like a basic implementation level, and then they also don't need to know. They also are missing idea about like, where are our failures policy-wise? And so there needs to be this, like, but it's like a sort of a chicken and egg. Where does that is it us telling them and then them giving us answers?
So
or
if
is
you
it
look
us
at the amount of transition they've had,
yeah.
I think they're just trying to keep the ships moving.
Sure.
Then they have the funds and they're trying to do due diligence. They tend to have a younger staff, which has transition, and a bunch of old salty guys like this guy here who really know their stuff. Then they have a series of pressures coming in all the time from one of the agencies that went forementioned, but San Francisco AIDS Foundation, pressuring them. So they're a little bit kind of like a little nervous about how, this is my assessment, how they share, because I don't want to be kind of creating. I think they want to do right. I think really CPG is one of the mechanisms, and they also have a number of calls where people like Kevin sit in and they share. But those are usually providers and grantees.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, we have the COLAs, right, which we say it's also important for actually end users to actually experience. I think the challenging thing about them and those kind of calls is you're going to have folks in the camp that Billy's in. Can someone just please explain to me why you're taking $150 away from my check? And then you're going to have Kent say, like, in subsection 3.4z, where I actually get this, but I'm in this tier, not this tier. What does it mean if I move? Like, so those are hard to manage when you have such a wide range of people.
Yes.
So I'm years away from CPGs, but that might be one place to put it out. Or it could come from here, kind of saying, we've identified this as a gap. We have suggestions of how you might fix it. Can you please come to share with us some of the ideas? But I think either of them could do it. I mean, I think they have different challenges. But I think FOG is a good place to go because Ken won't be alone. He'll be with 15 other people.
Yeah, I mean, I love that idea. I love you sort of putting feelers out there to sort of get with some like-minded people, of both consumers and providers, navigators and people who are end users, to all say to the state, like, these are our gaps in understanding, or these are our understanding of policies which seem like they are conflicting, or maybe inefficient.
We're still waiting to figure them out. So
right.
Saying, so then we're not getting good information because even the experts don't have the information.
So all this, many of the things I brought up, I absolutely said in the CPG to those very people that presented to us in Long Beach. And they were amazed. Do you mean we give out 90-day? I mean, they did not know. So that's my whole point. And at that point, it was, we'll get back with you. This is good information.
So the nice thing about a letter is it kind of reminds them about getting back, because things can get lost in a sea of priorities.
But I think it. I guess I see our role as being the tenacious advocates that push when it just stops, and it keeps saying, let's look at this, whether it be, what are you doing about getting premium copay for Kaiser Medicare? What are you doing about all the various things?
So what the idea?
But I think I would suggest if someone else knows, I wouldn't have all of FOG. I would just have two or three people who really know their stuff. Because in my experience, if you get all the FOG people together, you've also got a range of awareness.
They have a steering committee that meets pretty frequently. Most of those are as many as I can.
Do you have to be a provider?
You have to be a frontline worker.
Can we elect him as a representative of the council?
Rather than signing him up, you could just say we'd like to invite someone from who's a consumer and a member of the planning council, and we bring along to a meeting.
They would let us speak, and we got our act together, speak at their event. They're steering ahead of time and just put our points down, and knowing how much better you are at putting words together than I.
I was going to suggest mistaken or not, so it's a good identity to have. So, as a sort of suggestion to move this forward, actually, why don't we actually designate you, Ken, sort of empower you on behalf of the PLWH group to work with Kevin to attend the FOG, to get into the FOG system, to actually broker with the FOG system, to actually get some advocacy or move this issue forward, and then bring that information back here and educate us
And then we can take it to the council and then move forward. If we're going to get, I think the idea of having the state observers guinea pig us or COLA us or any of that stuff, council, I think we need to be in one voice and as clear on our objectives. So, and I think you two would be the best people to do it. So that would be my suggestion, is that we just sort of designate you, take this issue, and then come back to us. Like, and you can report back to us in writing before the next meeting, but this actually be on our agenda again for the next meeting as a series agenda item.
He thinks Bowder is going to get in. It tends to work with me.
Would that work? So do we need that? So I guess we need that in the form of a motion.
It's almost like a parking lot issue that we're going to see if we can explore means
or getting clarity on issues
and how then to approach those issues.
We needed something to really focus on with this group. And if ADEP is going to become one of the things we're going to focus on, this resolution, or at least clarity around it, this behemoth, let's start out right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that strictly needs to be a motion. That can just be a sort of statement of purpose and intent to do, because that, unless it's something that's going to carry forward from to the next committee and to the full council, it doesn't really necessarily need to be moved, seconded, and all that stuff, until you have sort of some actionable pieces to move forward outside of this committee.
But we've cleared him that would work with everybody.
Mm-hmm. So let me just ask a pointed question, Bill. So would you support Kevin and I go up to Sacramento and talking to get our act together and understanding? Because I think part of this is who's on first knowing.
Yeah, my concern is the specificity of your knowledge may only exist with one person somewhere in the state office today, and if you're going to ask all these questions, then they're going to have to sit down and figure it out. And it's going to be, they're going to have to, under resources, they're going to have to shift resources around to focus on this.
Well, we think we've identified that.
I think it's a good thing. So, but in answer to your question, Kevin, mostly, you know, he's there virtually by virtue of teleconferences a whole lot. But I you don't need my approval to go here. Just be nice. Yeah, if you're not nice, be effective, that's all I ask.
Okay. So that was actually really quite helpful. So now the next thing on the agenda is review of the last planning council meeting, specifically around us moving the endorsement of the letter for the micro illumination, which you all have in front of you. Everyone was at the last planning council meeting. So the health department presented the micro illumination plan, and we verbally sort of signed on to the plan, but we had asked Katie and the folks with HEPC to please give us text of what they would like our letter of support to state, and it's now in front of you. So the idea is that we would approve it, we would move on to steering, move on to the full council for approval. So,
yep.
So that's in front of you. The big issues, of course, were around the fact that it can be done, some of the issues around surveillance, epidemiology.
Sounded like that was a lot of it.
But it's just for us as a planning council to go on, to actually go on record supporting the Hep C micro-elimination. Ron, is that a motion?
Sure, yes.
I mean, it was a motion, though, but...
Yeah.
A second there.
And
I'll second.
And a second, so... So we have a motion to approve the letter of endorsement. It's been moved by Ron, seconded by Chuck. All in favor? Any opposed? Ken? I also did want to check in with everybody that was at the planning council meeting. That was there anything from the getting to zero piece that was missing or that you wanted more of? Otherwise, all the comment is going to get rolled into the planning process that they're going to be doing in April for the next strategic plan. And that report, that presentation was, we took everyone, all of y'all, and put what you wanted heard in that and boiled it into that. So it was
a little exercise that we did.
The But just the getting to zero presentation, though. I'm forgettable, so good. So we'll just go on to the next. You'll also need to let Mark know about. But I would like just to think that at each of the at our quarterly meetings, if things come up at the CP, at the full council meeting, that either you want more information about or want some clarity around or don't agree with or whatever, that we actually use this place to actually develop a response to that. So just put that in your parking lot. So Ken, you want to take us through the CPG update?
Sure. So back to probably for it. So the CPG last met in October. The next meeting is set up for the 27th of April. It's going to be in the Oakland area, and they've invited anybody and everybody. So as soon as I know more about where it is and who's going to do it, I certainly will put the word out, because that's another time where you can put pressure by being in the audience and asking the questions when they present their programs. The CPG, from my perspective, is in total turmoil right now. What they're going to do, because they've said they want to integrate with STE. They hope to do that by the first of the year, but I think, like Bill said, so much is changing. You know, the two co-chairs, government co-chairs for the CPG, both have moved on, and one of the new ones is about to move on for that. There's just so much change. The thing I find that I just, for y'all's awareness, that is probably one of the biggest factors, and I'm harping on it like crazy, they do not take minutes. They do not keep minutes, and their rationale is, do you know how many levels this would have to go up of review before this? So everything is done by staff in terms of jotted notes. So you don't get minutes, you just get jotted agenda notes on what we think. So you lose any kind of institutional memory whatsoever. So anything that was brought up here or here or here or here, unless somebody's there tenaciously pushing and pushing and pushing, it's not going to come back. So I'm going to continue to push that issue. But they are, as I said, this all started in October. They had hoped to do it. And, of course, now suddenly they're getting close to April. And so now we have this Friday getting this note saying we're going to have this conference call, and I pride myself in thinking it may be because I wrote kind of a very pointed letter about, you know, if you're going to send something, if we're going to be voting on something, we need to see it in advance. You can't do a conference call, because conference call, you don't have interaction. You don't have time to look at it in advance. You don't, and we say this all the time, if we don't get our materials beforehand, don't look to us, because you have to ponder on it and understand it. So it's on the 28th. I will be listening in, and maybe what I will do is come over here and have Kevin listen in with me for that part of it, to hear what the plans are, because it's rather disjointed right now on how and what they're doing. There is no, for instance, I sit on their membership, Their members are everywhere from 3 to 5 years. If you're nominated, they have, eight nominated and 11 at-large members. The eight nominated are nominated from EMA-type organizations. The 11 at-large are just people who have applied because of whatever, and what tends to happen is somebody came in through the door as a nominated member, and then applies for an at-large member, and they say, well, what do you want, 3 or 5 years? And they say 5 years. Mm-hmm. So, and the same thing is true with the nominee. When they didn't say to us, what we do, so we did 2 years. So I'm the only 2-year member on there. So, and when I said, well, what should we? Well, whatever you want. Whatever you want. So, and when you say, well, who are your members? Where do they represent? Do you have a scattered diagram to show us who your members are and how we represent the state? No, we don't do it. I mean, we have, it's all we'll do it kind of thing. And it's the same thing we have constantly heard before, is trust us. And I think some level of that is true. We should trust them. They are good. Nobody's being nasty or mean, but it is bureaucracy at its worst. And unless you push, I'm not assured that we have a scattered of representation around the state of California. And the only way to get that is to have somebody, you know, I am listed as one of the members that's 45 or older, you know. They have no idea, they have no issue. You know, they finally got into the fact where they recognize there are transgenders as well as males and females. They're gathering information. But they don't, nobody's as prioritized like we're talking about with Epi about how are you gathering, what, how are you choosing, what you're doing. So even in membership, when I said, no, I'd like to know what ages our members are, you know, so can we get that? Can we look at these? So it's all this stuff, I guess I would say, is we are light years ahead of them. But finally, it appears like there's more pressure for them to do something that's very similar to what we are now doing. But it takes a lot of time, and it's frustrating. Because now they have to deal with the same level of people in their face like you guys have to deal with, you know, rather than just saying, here's what we think is best for you.
So will you notice us when, like, send up to Melina when you know where the meeting's going to be?
Absolutely.
And if something's up, anyone can go.
Right. That's what we've heard. And if Kevin is willing, I'll see if he won't listen in on the conference call when they try to put together how they want to reform it in the future.
Charles wanted me to bring up, when I talked to him, he wanted to make a motion that we support the idea of Ken being a 5-year member. As opposed to 2 or 3 year member.
Well, especially about the 2 year, it does make it just a little bit strange. Everybody else is through.
Already doing God's work. I was doing it for 5 years.
But I don't. It's real. I'm not invested in that.
So it was Charles. Charles wanted to make that as a motion that we would support.
Why don't we support making the position 5 years?
Right.
So yeah. So we just did the. Work
the job description,
correct?
Yes, and that's what going to steering.
And in job description, we left the term open because it was at that meeting it was indeterminate. So I think it was
5 years into the job.
Did she put 5 years?
You put 5 in, so it's
okay, so it sounds like they probably aren't keeping track. So if we just formalize it as a 5-year.
If it's in the job description, then once it gets approved, then that is okay. So that'll make Charles happy.
Great.
So any other questions for Ken about CPG stuff? Ms. Billy?
Since you mentioned, I wasn't going to bring up nothing transgender, but since you mentioned transgender, is there any transgender representation on this thing?
Ms. Billy, the one of the two community co-chairs is transgender, and she is dynamite.
Who is she? You know her name?
Robin Lund. I think she's from. I haven't learned all 18, but I can look it up before we leave and tell you. But they have 4 or 5 different transgender representatives. So I think they got that message.
Right.
They got it strong and clear.
Let me ask you this also. I'll put this out there on the table. How long has this been? A group, a work group, the CPG.
The CPG is a state group.
State.
Yeah.
It's been?
1996.
State?
No, 1993, the state put together the community planning group in response to the CDC's call for community planning for HIV prevention. So it's been?
1993. So let me ask this also. How is it that trans women are still being excluded up until this date and time?
Billy, don't take that. I'm just saying, it's like with us, we didn't keep data on transgenders. Within so much progress has been made.
Well, yeah.
But I see them as they don't progress as quickly as we do because they have greater bonds of bureaucracy and they haven't been mandated by HRSA like we are at the
moment. Oh, okay.
So
nobody's policing them.
Well, nobody's pushing because they can always point to us and say, "Here is,
you know, we have this out in our community.
So the next item on the agenda is the possibility of naming the PLWHIV group. Ken?
Yeah, and this is just, and again, I feel like I've spoken too much and I really don't want to speak. But in the course of looking up and doing the research on the memorial for all the folks, and it's been very good. I've gotten a lot of information. But
there's too many names on that list.
Yes. And what it turns out, I think we're close to 30 now, is that somebody knows somebody who knows somebody. It's a shame that we've let this drop. So I am very pleased that even regardless of how much work it is, we're gonna get as many names as we can back on. And we also find that we've got a name and somebody says, no, they're not dead. They're not dead.
We found someone living in Los Angeles.
Right. So,
but that's a good app.
It is a very good app.
What are the original planning?
In the course of that, one of the people that I was researching, because I'm trying to get, once I get a name, I need to get the correct spelling of the name, and then I'm trying to get, were they care, prevention, or were they staff, because those are the three. And in the course of trying to find all that, Will Carter's name came up. And looking at him, I was able to track down Tom
Calvinese.
Calvinese, yeah.
And we had a bad email, but I got him. But what I found is a quote from the memorial saying that Will Carter, and the mayor made it a Will Carter Day or something in his honor, noting that he was the first person that pushed to have a PLWH or PLA or whatever it was called at that point. He was the one that said it's time we get this group of consumers themselves together. So I thought, you know, in the vein of let's not keep losing things, maybe we should do the same kind of thing, sort of like Reggie. Isn't that how Reggie came about? Reggie, the computerized system we hear about, that person was a member of the council.
I always thought it was an acronym.
Yeah. But Reggie stands for Reggie Williams. He was the first community co-chair and the second community co-chair of the Planning Council. African-American gay man, founded Black and White Men Together and the National Task Force on AIDS Prevention, the first national minority organization that dealt with people of gay men of color. Pretty phenomenal, but actually the very first person to actually push for a larger PWA participation on the Planning Council was Bill Hirshon in the early 90s. Will was first to actually coalesce to actually create the group, the advisory group, the advisory body. There's a lot of history with some of the folks.
So, and mine is not that maybe Hirsch or B. Carter, it is that just we take opportunities when we can to imprint ourselves with some of the work that's been done and some of the people that have gone before us.
Our first co-chair ever, our first community co-chair was actually a health commissioner, was Pierre Luddington, who was the second HIV positive health commissioner ever in San Francisco. So yeah, there's so
you
much.
You know that there's in the city charter that one member of the health commission has to be
sent. Say it again.
At least one member of the health commission, which are the people that provide direction to the director of public health, minimum one person has to be sent open to living with HIV.
I don't know that we ever knew that.
I was the third. So it was Jim Foster, and then Pierre Luddington, and then myself, and then.
But I think that's the kind of information that we certainly should know, and that we should not let.
Is someone there now on the council?
Oh, there are two people on the health commission right now.
A transgender woman of color.
Cecilia Chung. And
who was on this council.
Yeah. So there's at least one person on the health commission right now who's living with HIV.
So do you have a suggestion for a name?
I don't. I just thought, and we can put it off. It's just that we, because Mike did through the other loop. I just read something. If there was somebody else, it would just be our luck to do it, and then somebody else would say, no, I did it. And it may be a combination of the names, but just something that of all groups, this group should recognize the past in some way.
Now, the names of people who have died of HIV/AIDS, right? Are there any names on there, people who were living with HIV and AIDS who have died of something else?
No, that's what we're trying to find out. I mean, at this point, we get into the fine nuances because people are giving me the names of people who were providers. And I've had to say, no, no, no. I understand there are a lot of wonderful people in our community. We are trying to just recognize in this either people who were a member of one of the councils. So I'm trying to find the date that ties that, either prevention or care. In my understanding, care started first and it was 1991.
Correct.
Right. And then staff that worked with either of those. And sometimes it's just somebody gave me the name the other day of Ray, somebody who was assistant to the new director of DPH.
Grant Colbeth.
Yeah, I guess he
was. Oh, Ray, he wasn't a member of any council.
No, but we're saying that we are recognizing. So we don't want to just say it's prevention or care planning council members, but also DPH staff that have worked with those two councils.
Oh, my God, it's going to be a larger list coming your way. You know that.
Yeah. Right. Well, but I don't think it's fair for us to say we've done this. You know, this is a combination of these folks. And Mike Pindo is a good example. Mike
Pindo, yeah.
So anyway, we're slowly gathering.
So if you have any names of people,
I would like to say Norman Tanna.
He's on there.
He's on there. Okay.
I'll send this group out of the current list. It's constantly changing. I'll send it.
Are you working with other agencies?
I'm doing this all myself. I mean, I'm working with other people, but I'm sending out. When I hear Tom Calvinese, how do I find, track him down, and I track him down on Google.
Yeah.
So it's a lot. So anybody who has any time and wants to help me Google, the BAR is a way you put a name in, and if you have the right spelling, you can generally get a lot from the obituary.
Thank you for doing that. It dinged a couple for me, like JB. I forgot about JB.
Great. So, it's
maybe
now...
you could tell me what JB stands for.
He actually went by JB. Was planning council. He was a nurse at San Francisco General, very first planning council. Really good man. So, can everyone open up their calendars, please? So we need to find a date for our next meeting. So, January, February, March, June. So, the idea would be the Tuesday before steering committee in June, which would be June 18th, same bat time, same bat channel.
Well, I'm gonna have to say they haven't. I was one of the people nominated for community Grand Marshal, and they named two people so far. So they're going to release more people that have won in April and May. I guess they're going to do more in April. So I don't know where I'm at in there yet, but they say if you win, they would like you to have your calendar open for May and June, because they're going to come and you have to be certain places and do certain things, and so.
Billy, I think for this group, one of the first premises is because of many of our health issues, all of us will have last minute things that come up. But I think if I can challenge us, the thing to do is for us to get the other people who aren't at this table, because either we are going to be recognizing that there is value to this group of people.
Mm-hmm.
Are there aren't. And so some of the people that are reluctant, and I won't go into names, that don't show up, you know, and whether for whatever reason, but there are more than just seven of us. You know, what is the count? How many HIV positive people do we have on the council?
Our roster's 10. Sure. Roster's 10 is
it? Yeah. I think the total number is a little bit more.
Yeah, the total number is
like 17.
That have been approved by the mayor, though. We're still looking.
Yeah, I wasn't even thinking about them. I was just thinking about the number that I was working from the list last year when I interviewed everyone. Yeah, I mean, I think there were 13 people that I had on my list to interview, but then there were a few people, like Bill, who, you know, or some other people who, I'm glad he's here, but I sort of assumed we're not going to show up as a member of the committee.
So, just want to be clear with everyone then, so the date of the next meeting is going to be June 18th at 3 o'clock.
So it's every 3 months?
Every 3 months, right. So June will be our next meeting, and one of the agenda items we already have on that agenda is going to be an update on the ADAP FOG conversation. ADAP FOG, State Office of AIDS. And that going forward to the steering committee is going to be the letter regarding policy. And also that we stand in support of the 5 years, the job description for the CBG person being 5 years, and that we've endorsed the micro elimination.
And you want to give us the date of that, the CBG meeting?
Okay, I'll send that out to everyone.
I'll send that out to everybody. I'll also send out a list of who we have so far on our board. And also we're going to put a parking lot, a name for this.
Right.
For this work group?
Yeah.
Also, do we want to put HCAP, since we're going to be looking at HCAP?
Yeah. So the HCAP presentation is going to be next week, and then we're going to take that.
So what was ever determined? Weren't we talking about whether members could get credit? What happened with that?
Well, that is part of the agreement, that we agree with that. For all the folks on the planning council, you all, if part of your commitment to be at your home group, your stated work group, this counts as sort of a get out of jail free card. If you don't go to your standing committee next month, you've actually fulfilled that requirement by being here.
Can I do that as a
you can use a retroactive.
I missed membership too.
Oh, I was. Right.
This gives you one free card per quarter.
Before we walk away, I just wanted to. So, as far as agenda items moving forward, I just want to throw out there so we keep them in mind, things that were discussed. Group wanted to have further conversation about U equals U at some point in this space, and also that COE funding that got pulled back from Native American, I think was, and maybe some of the RFP stuff happening around that.
We don't want to couch it in terms of the RFP.
Okay.
But the idea of using this group is using the PLWH as a focus group for the
COE
model of
care,
right.
Given the evolution of
care, right. That we would actually possibly be the focus.
So, like, more like best practices stuff around COE? Or
something like that
evolution?
Would possibly fly, but keep RFP completely out.
We will 100% do that.
Okay.
I just want to know how to what we are specifically looking at when I have to write this up, this agenda up. So I just wanted to make sure that we keep those things on a burner, even if it is a back burner. So maybe we're not looking at them next, not looking at them in June, but maybe the following. Is that good?
Yeah.
We're still good with that priority.
Yeah. Well, the following June will be, but the next meeting after June we'll probably be doing some prep for the summit.
I was going to ask a question about that. What is our? Do we have a role in the International Conference on AIDS?
We don't know, but there are several members of the Planning Council who do. I would talk to Linda.
Yeah, I've been talking to Linda. Yeah.
Linda specifically.
Yeah.
She's chairing one of the committees, or she's.
Yeah, because I was pushing to get people inside the conference to the workshops and the work groups and all that, but then I was set down and. Talk to about that the Global Village is where everything's going to really be happening at.
Sorry,
so
if I can interrupt.
If we can get people to that.
Because
so.
You guys can have a, you guys are here for another half an hour to just, you know, hang. Melina and I are going to leave, though. You guys can discuss that stuff further in a minute. Melina was asking if we could just reiterate next month's agenda for the record, because it was fast and we didn't catch everything.
That we'll be developing the agenda, but we do know that the ADAP will be part of that agenda for next month.
And there was
for the next meeting.
A feedback of the call
the
it
fog.
A work group, if
the fog.
A work group of us.
So, follow up on Ken's foray into fog.
Yes.
recapping HCAP.
And and we can figure out the rest of the agenda.
And maybe also looking at what that the micro elimination thing. We want to touch back on that, or are we done with that?
Okay, I think we're done with that.
Okay, so for right now, we just
have
two
agenda items for next week.
Got it.
Gaming.
Okay.
So we have this room for everyone. There's food.
Yeah, thank you.
Or that one.
Perfect snack time.
I don't know what to do.
What's that?
Perfect snack time.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
So I do think.